When we come, become a Christian, we always think, hey, maybe God needs me to serve Him in some way. Actually, God doesn't need us to do something for Him in a way that He can ask the angels to do many things for Him, more effective, more powerful. Angels will get higher. They can fly much faster than we do. So why would God still require or ask us to follow Him? So last time I talked about He wants to transform us. When we have a relationship with our Lord Jesus, His relationship will transform us to be more like Him. So when God wants us to serve Him, it doesn't mean that He needs help. It means He wants us to grow and become mature. It's for our own good because He loves us. Just thinking, there's a rich man, plenty of works to do in his field. He may need some servants to do the work for him. But it's very different because that rich man has a son, and he wants the son to learn how to manage all the properties. So, if talking about work, the rich man may want the workers to do work. But talking about the son, what the rich man thinks is he wants the son to grow, become mature, reach his full potential, that he can manage his property. So God wants us to serve Him, not because He's desperately needs help, but God wants us to grow into the image of His Son, to be like His Son, and exercise His Son's authority. So it is our job. So the Father loves the Son and wants the Son to grow in a way that He can serve. It's for the Son's own good. So when Jesus called us to follow Him, it's because He loves us and He wants to transform us to be like Him. So let's look back here. Jesus said to the disciples, Peter and Andrew, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now this time I want to focus on the fishers of men. Now as we follow Jesus, when we accept Jesus, when we baptize to follow Him, and He will make you, He will change your life, He will speak to you, He will teach you day by day. Change your mind, change your behavior, change your life. He will make you to be fishers of men. Now let's think about these fishers of men. Why do people fish? When you go fishing, someone like him likes fishing, but you use a speed gun, okay. Very direct for the fish time. Whereas the fishermen, they use fishing rods or even a net. When you caught the fish, what are you going to do with the fish? See? Cook it. Does it mean what do the fishes of man mean? Does God want us to catch people? And after what are you going to do with the people? If in the past, if you are a king or general, you fought the captives, they become your slave. You can manipulate them. Do this, do the hard work for us. You can torture them. You can humiliate them. You can abuse them as you want. Because capturing people doesn't sound very good to us. But fishers of men, what does God want? Why does He want us to be fisher of men? Why do God want His disciples to catch men? Why? Well, it is our fault. Men are free. They are fish swimming in the ocean. So free. Why do I have to take away their freedom and with my net. The fish are enjoying their lives. Why do I have to catch them? Your friends are enjoying their lives in the day. Why do I have to catch them? Give me a good reason. No. For God so loved the world, the reason why He wants us to catch men, because of love. That He gave His only begotten Son, that He whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Just now I mentioned about the fish seems to be enjoying their life in the ocean, and when you catch them, you are changing their lives, destroying their lives, but not so in here. Because people are perishing and not trying to save them. This saving act is catching men, but have everlasting life. So the reason why we catch men is to save them from perishing, so that they can have everlasting life. So Lord Jesus is not asking us to do this, but He's changing our hearts and changing our lives to be like Him, to care about people. Because this is the heart of God. In 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some have slack, but is long suffering for us, not willing that many should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So in God's heart, He doesn't want people to perish. He wants them to come to repentance, to deliver them from perish. So for those who are not saved in this world, for those who are not accepted Jesus in this world, they seem to be happy, but they are not aware of what is facing them. Perish. But before that perish comes, people live in sin. They suffer. There's emptiness in their life. They are bonded, bound by all evil desires in sin. And they are facing judgment. They are facing hopelessness, emptiness in their life. They are facing eternal separation from God. And they are facing punishment and death. So my dear friends who are sitting here, if you are not a Christian yet, let me warn you. You may think you are free. You may think you are enjoying lives, but at the same time, in God's heart, you are still living in sin. You are controlled by your desires. You are alien to God. You are facing eternal judgment. You are facing death if you do not have Jesus Christ. I'm warning those who are not yet a Christian. In God's heart, He doesn't want you to perish. He loves you. Before the judgment comes, He spread His net. Before the judgment comes, He sent out His disciples to catch people, to deliver them from sin. As if someone is hanging on the cliff, so I reach out my hand, hoping to pull it back. This is the catches. So when you share the gospel with your friends, the parents want them to be saved, want them to be delivered from eternal punishment, you are trying to save them. Why? I don't want unhappy people. He seems happy. He doesn't like me to talk to him about Jesus. He doesn't want to hear about God. Maybe I should keep silent. But knowing that they are facing death, knowing that they are facing judgment, you've got to do something. Not because you love them, but because God's love drives you to care about them. I may not know you. I may not know your struggle. I may not know what you are, what's the dark side of your life. God knows you very well. But yet, He wants to save you from sin. He cares about you. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. And He sent His servants. He sent us, the believers, who knows about His love. He sent us out to call people back to Him. So this is the mission of all bishops. If you are baptized, now you have a mission to bring people back to Him. How long you have been a bishop? Have you brought anyone to Christ yet? Not even one? A whole year, not even up to one person of Christ? Unbelievable. Have you tried? If you don't know how, have you learned how? So today, we are talking about how to be bishops of men. The first step is bear witness for Christ. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. When we are sharing Christ, we are not alone. Holy Spirit will help us. We can receive the power, the courage. Once you go, you will find He will give you the words. And you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. So you can see, be witness to Christ. And from Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the world, from close and to further away. So starting from your close friends, your family, your classmates, to someone you know, distant family, step by step you reach out to different people. Bear witness to me. What does bear witness to me mean? And in John chapter 4, the Samaritan woman, he testified Christ. He told the people what the Lord told him, told her. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in Christ because of the words of the woman. So she used the word of the woman to testify. He told me all that I have believed. He knows me. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 more days. And many more believed because of his own word. In the beginning, they believed because of the word of the woman, but now they believe because they hear God's, Jesus' own word. 2 kinds of words. The woman's word is her witness. Now, what does that witness do? She must have told them who Christ is. He said He is the Christ. And what He has done. He told me all that I ever did. So to bear witness of Christ means you tell your friend who Christ is, Jesus Christ is. What did he do? What did he say? How did he change your life? You are not arguing. You don't have to be very smart, like a professor, like a theologist, in order to argue difficult questions. No, simple. Who tried this? He has risen from the dead. What he's teaching is the life of the world. What did he say about himself? What did he do? He died on the cross, raised from the dead, and he ascended into heaven. What he has done, this is bear witness. And in John chapter 5, there was a man seems to be paralyzed. After that, Jesus picked up the bed spread and then throw to that Siloam, the pool of Siloam and Jew. And then he ate it, he was healed. And the man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. So the testimony is he had made him well. He changed him. So when we do the bear witness of Jesus, I was like this, but now I have changed. So if you are worried about how to be witness, to be witness of Christ during, if you want to be baptized, I don't know how to give testimony. Well, simple. Before you know Christ, I was this. How I come to know Christ? After I know Christ, I change. Before and after. I was like this, but now I've changed. He made me well. This is testimony. Do you understand how he healed you? I don't. But when he said, rise up, then I can rise up. There must be some scientific reason behind that. I don't know all about this scientific answers. But I know what happened in my life. Very simple. And in John chapter 9, there was a blind man, Jesus healed him. People challenging him, trying to force him to say Jesus was a fake, not Messiah. He answered, the blind man said, he answered and said, whether it's a sin or not, I do not know. One thing I know. That though I was blind, now I see. Very simple, very powerful. You don't have to know a lot of Bible to prove to your friend, I was blind, now I see. I was further, but I'm joyful now. What happens in your life? Very powerful, very simple. And the second way to help people to come to know Christ is leading people to Christ is, that's the Andrew. One of the two who heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He found his own brother, Simon, and said to him, we have found Messiah, which is translated to Christ, and he brought him to Jesus. Now when Jesus looked at him, he said, you are Simon the son of Jonah. You shall be called Cephas. Now what to point out here? Andrew brought his brother. So, starting from someone close to you. Just like Andrew went to the meeting, heard about John, talking about Jesus. He's the Lamb of God. He took away the sin of the world. Then Andrew went back after the meeting, just like he come to the meeting. After you meet him, you go home and tell your brother, tell your sister, tell your cousins. And then he brought him to Jesus. And he brought the friend, maybe come to the meeting. But most important is brought him to Jesus. And when Jesus looked at him, you are Simon the son. Then Jesus deal with that person directly. And he changed Jesus' life. He changed Simon, you should see this. So, you don't know how to talk much. You are not eloquent, it doesn't matter. Invite people to come to the meeting there. Come to know Jesus. This is one way of leading people to Christ. Another way of leading people to Christ, very simple. Then Levi. Jesus called Matthew. His other name is Levi. He was a tax collector. When Jesus called Matthew, Matthew left his job and just followed Jesus. But after some time, Matthew or Levi gave him a great feast in his own house. And then what? And there were a great number of tax collectors. This may be his old friends, tax collectors, sinners. The religious people hate them. But yet, after Matthew turned to the Lord, he felt that, my friend, they need deliverance as well. So he hold a great feast to invite their friends to come. So you may not know how to talk to your friends. You may not know much about Jesus, but there's a way. Maybe you can have a great feast. Or even if you invite them for coffee, maybe your friend. You invite them to have a chat. And make use of that time and make sure that you have Jesus with them in the great feast. And that people can come to fear Jesus. Okay? So it doesn't mean all of them becomes a believer at that time, isn't it? But still, it reflects a way. It reflects what you can do to bring your friend to come to know Jesus. That's just one way. And in Acts, this is about Philip and how God used Philip to share the gospel. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, arise and go forth the south along the road which goes back from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert. And the angel spoke to Philip, arise and go. Why? To the desert? To Gaza, you know, where there's a lot of bombing right now. From Jerusalem to Gaza, why would I go to such? But no people there. He can argue, but he just followed the Lord. He just followed the leading of the angel. So he arose and went. Not questioning why, somehow the Lord was leading him. And behold, a man of Ethiopian, and he was of great authority under Candace, the king of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all the treasury and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. So this Ethiopian ruler has great authority. He came to Jerusalem to worship, and he was on his way to return to Ethiopia. And only at that instant, and sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and overtake this chariot. Someone was on the chariot. I asked him, go, can you change the chariot? How can I? But yet, Philip ran to him. Someone was on the chariot. Oh, too fast. I can't run. How can I catch up with the chariot? He paused it. He was already going. How can I? Because Philip still ran. And as he ran, and suddenly reading the prophet Isaiah, I think this is kind of amazing. The Ethiopian was riding on the chariot, reading Isaiah. Would you read Isaiah? Yeah, I suppose you read a lot of things instead of reading the book of Isaiah. But he was reading the book of Isaiah. And as Philip ran, can you run and hear people reading Isaiah as well? This is quite challenging. And yet, he can hear. And Philip said, I suppose he was not speaking like this, but do you hear him?
Do you understand what you mean?
Because he was running.
First of all, if I was running and hear some people, I ask you,
who is Paul? What does he mean? Book of Isaiah. And how can I talk to that guy?
I think the only reason he can try to communicate with him.
Do you understand what you are reading?
But the thing is, can God use us this way? We can't run. We have too many pressures. We wouldn't want to go to the desert. And when we see the chariot was going, and even if we ran, we gave up easily. Even if we ran with the chariot, and even if we can hear what he was reading, we don't know it's from the book of Isaiah. We don't even know it's from the Bible, the thing is. So can you see how God can use Philip? So if you don't know the book, if you know nothing about God's words, this even make it a little bit harder for you to share with people. Someone got questions, but you have the answer because you study God's words. So my dear friend, after we know the Lord, we should spend time with God's words. When time comes, you may use God's words to help people. You understand what you are reading. But before that, you try to explain to that person, do you understand what you are reading? If you read Bible just like that, like scanning it down, close the book, sometimes Holy Spirit will ask, do you know what you are reading? Do you understand what you are reading? I don't know. How can you explain to another person? So, know God's words. Study God's word. Then you can help people to know God's words. Okay? If you want to catch fish, you need faith. You can't catch fish by your hand. You have to trust something in your hand to catch fish. Catching men, how can we help people? Look at Philip. He can use God's words to help people. Now, does it mean people like what you share to them? No, people like to reject. In the Acts, so when Paul shared his gospel, and then almost throughout Europe, and at the end he was sent to Rome. And at Rome, when they had appointed him a day, many Jews came to Paul and his lodging, when he explained solemnly, testified of the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus from both the law of Moses and the prophets, from morning till evening. So I'm sure Paul knows God's word deeply, thoroughly, from Moses and the prophets, but almost the whole Testament. We can prove to them Jesus is God. And from morning to evening, that's such a long time. But we all day believe, and some were persuaded by the things which were spoken. Yes, some were persuaded, and some disbelieved. So don't think when you share the gospel, people will accept. People will, tell me more. No, they just reject. No response on their faith. No response. They don't care. They're not sick of God's word. People disbelieve. And yet, some may be persuaded. You don't know. I remember a brother, he told us in the past when he came to the meeting, because his wife always asked him to come, he came to the meeting, I was speaking, but when he sat down, he just fell asleep.
And he has a very good story.
Every time he told us, many times he comes, he sit down and then he just goes. One time when he was awake, I was talking about sin. And then at that moment, Holy Spirit touched his heart. And he became a Christian. And he was so joyful. So when I see him, always thinking. I may be discouraged, but I don't care. I don't care. Keep preaching, keep sharing. When the Holy Spirit works, he will turn to God. So, also, when people reject God's word, how do you feel? When you share the gospel with some friends, they don't show interest. No. How do you feel? How do you feel? Yeah, I was like that. I was exactly like that. I don't care about God. I just want to go my own life. I thought God come to constrain me, put a lot of restriction in my life. I yearned for freedom, but actually I was in bondage of sin. I thought I was free, but actually I was in bondage. And yet God had patience, long suffering patience with me. Using many friends, bring me to a very special circumstances, situation that I start to feel I need him. I was in Hong Kong, I was having a good, happy life. Suddenly I went to England and studied, and I feel, it's quite lonely here. What is the meaning of life? Where are my good friends? Where's my family? Suddenly I realized I need something more in my life. So God brings people in their own time. They will wake up suddenly and they will find out they need God. Are you like that? So, when God told us to share, let us not grow weary while we reap. For in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So we just keep sharing. Share it. For the past almost 2 or 3 years in August, Monday there's a ministry called Hands and Feet. We handed a basket of food to the people. So every Monday morning, almost 70 people sitting there. Sometimes I share, sometimes Brother Neil or sometimes Jonathan. We come up to share with 70 people. Week by week, almost 2 years. Some of them turn to the Lord. Some of them very happy, not just want to commit yet. But in my heart, come on, we are getting old, we are getting sick. Come to know the Lord. There was a man. Got cancer. I really have burden for him to come to know the Lord. And he said, oh, maybe later. And now I don't see him anymore. I wonder if he has turned to the Lord. So, you just keep, do not go weary. And just keep on doing. Sharing gospel. Sharing gospel, week by week, sharing gospel, in due season, we shall read the three in our new start. 2 weeks ago, one of the men who came to know the Lord, I was sitting next to him, he said to me, I'm truly thankful to you. He was talking to me. Because of you, my life changed. And now I'm not afraid of God. Wow, I almost after 2 or 3 years, I hear one man say to me, thank you for doing this for us. So do not give up. Keep sharing the good news. But before we be to share the good news benefit for the Lord, we must get ourselves ready. In 1 Peter it says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready. So my friends, brothers and sisters, be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you. So maybe they don't say, what's the hope in you? They may ask you, why do you go to church on Sunday? Why do you believe in Jesus? Be ready to give a defense. Are you ready to tell them why you go to church? Are you ready to go to tell them why you believe in Christ? You are not proud. They want to know you. What's the hope? How come you have such hope? You have difficulty. You are facing challenges. How come you have no hope? And with weakness and fear, you answer them with a good conscience. Now you must be living a good life. If you are doing evil things, they won't ask you. You are as bad as us. But when they see you have a different life, you have a good life, having a good conscience, that when they defame you as evil doers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ will be saved. When they say you are evil, actually, they condemn themselves. That means you must live a holy life in front of people. Separate, when they use dirty words in their language, you don't. When they go the worldly ways, you don't. You live a godly life, then people start to realize, how come he is different? How come he is joyful? How come these people are filthy, using filthy language? How come this one never swear? Something special with this person. I want to know why. When you look different, people one day will come to you, what come to you? Tell me, why are you different? Why do you have hope? Why do you go to church on Sunday? So you must be ready. So if one day people ask you, how can I be saved? How can you answer that, Eva? Oh, I can't give her a word. Linda, in other words, how can I be saved? Okay. Without looking, can you tell me? Yes. So we should get ready to prepare ourselves. People ask me, how can I be saved? How can I become a child of God? Can you answer that? People come to ask Jenny, how can I also become a child of God? You become baptized, how can I become a child of God? I'm a good person, why do you say I'm a sinner? Rebecca, I'm a good person, why do you say I'm a sinner? You don't have to answer that. I've done something wrong, but overall I'm a good person. I deserve heaven. How would you answer? There's no justice in this world. Everyone dies. How would you answer? My good works can save me. I'm sure I can go to heaven. I'm good enough. How can you answer? Is your opinion of God's words? How can I have everlasting life? How can I know God loves me? How can I know? It's all in here. I've prepared a page for everyone. If you are interested to equip yourself, come and get one later on. So let's be ready. When you go to fishing, of course you bring your fishing rod, a spear gun, a fishing net. When you go to be fishers of them,
prepare yourself with God's words. Live a good life. So that people will ask you, what is the hope? The reason for your hope? Why are you different? Tell me why. Then we can tell him how to become a child of God. How can they have everlasting life? So let us be ready. Let God use you to be bishop of men. Okay, let us pray. Dear Lord, we thank you that you love sins. You don't want us to perish. And you want us to be bishops of men, to have a part in saving people from sin. Lord, we thank you that you give us your words. We pray that you will help us to prepare us life, to witness you, to tell people how you change our lives. And we can help people come to know you and let them be saved and come into the kingdom of heaven. Lord, we thank you for today. We ask that you teach us in the coming days. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.